97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 601 on this Football Friday that has turned into a Sixers pregame party for us here at McStew's tonight. 5316 New Falls Road in Levittown, PA. Come on by and hang out as our pregame show, Sixers pregame show, is presented by Corona. I'm Devon Givens alongside my running mate on these pregame shows, and that would be D Lineham D. How you doing, McStew's Irish Pub is where we are.
I know. I've never been here.
This never been here either. Yes. Quick. Got here. Done. Ready to go.
So I decided I didn't know how Friday night traffic would be.
Yeah.
So I came up earlier today and I played some golf right up the road. And then I popped in here.
Yeah, see, easy work. Yeah, it didn't take me long. It took me like a half hour where I was get here. So easy to get here. And hopefully you guys can come and hang out with us. We are here from 6 until 8:45 as we, 7:45 as we hand things off to the pregame show, which I will be handling tonight.
And then,
you know, to speak to Tom McGinnis from Oklahoma City and get the vibes of Oklahoma City as the Sixers get ready to take on the Thunder. The Sixers 7-4 right now. The Thunder 4-7. And the 76ers, D, first of all, we do have some stuff that's going to be happening here, just like every pregame show where we're giving away things. The sweatshirts, the hats, the glasses, the drinking glasses, tickets to an upcoming Sixers game, which would be on Wednesday against the New York Knicks. Whoa. At home. So after Sunday's road game against Cleveland, a quick three-game set, after the loss against Orlando on Wednesday, now Oklahoma City tonight, Cleveland Sunday afternoon while the Eagles are playing. So take your pick of games. And also, we're going to give away an opportunity for you to qualify for a trip to San Francisco on March 7th to take on the Golden State Warriors. The Sixers are, so you can go check them out. That would be great. That's a great prize. So come on out. Hang out. As we said, the Sixers pregame show always presented by Corona. 350 Corona Light Drafts are the special tonight. So come on out. Hang out with us for a while. Some great TVs in this bar area. Some pool on the side here, D. I would stick around and play you in some pool, but I got to get back and do the post-game show in the post from the studio. So we're running. We're running tonight. Hopefully the Sixers can run tonight because, D, I've been a little frustrated over the last couple of games.
As well you should be.
Okay. Now, let me start here. 7-4 they are, the first 11 games, 7 games on the road, 4 at home. So you look at that and you say, all right, it's not terrible, which it shouldn't be. But like I always like to say, conversations with you that we have off the air often, conversations I've had with Joe Torti, when we do shows together, as you do, and it's really about how did it happen for me a lot of times when it comes to certain situations in any sporting event. Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers in this case, how did it happen when it comes to the 7-4? You look at that and you say, all right, it's not terrible. They're 7-4 after 11 games. Why are you picking? Well, I'm picking for a lot of reasons. Some of the things that we already knew but are really, really glaring right now because it is magnified with some of the other things that are becoming a problem for this basketball team. So before I really get into my issues with things, since I've had a chance to talk since game number, Sunday's game, and then, of course, Tuesday's game, what are you looking at right now, 7-4, with this basketball team?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, you did start out 5-0, so you are 2-4 in your last six.
You've only won two of the last six.
Right. So that's part of it. Some of the explanations, you know, the other night when Brett Brown said we may not look like we should until Christmas. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
That is not allowed to be said at this point. I think the struggles with the outside shooting, this was the way this team was constructed to be bully ball, but you're not playing that way. And I think the biggest thing for me is defensively. That fourth quarter in Orlando, I mean, when you're putting somebody on the line that often, that means you're not moving your feet. Stop. That is just poor defensive effort. And you lost, that was a 2-point lead, and you lost it because defensively you weren't willing to get after it. And I don't think it's because Joel Embiid was not out there. That was not the reason. The people who were out there were not willing to defend.
a team is supposed to be good enough when he sits to win a game like that against Orlando. And even when he plays and Horford sits against Cleveland, they're good enough where they should not be winning a one-point game
at home
where they have enough bodies on the floor. So to your point of the outside shooting, we already knew that, right?
Yep.
And when you say defensively, 32 points for the Orlando Magic in that fourth quarter, when you were up two after the third frame going into the fourth quarter, what happened, right? What happened?
Exactly.
Unacceptable with how they have been playing. So you mentioned the free throws, D, and this is something that has really got on my nerves as we talk about the shooting. So we'll incorporate both, if you don't mind. Against Cleveland, 8 of 38 from deep. Against Orlando, 8 of 30. 16 of 60.
16 of 60.
Say it loudly,
yes,
right?
I know.
16 of 68 for the 76ers over the last two games.
And a big part, obviously, we know the struggles of one Tobias Harris.
We'll get to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of
it. Sure.
But either you are realizing that you cannot not have outside shooting. I understand you didn't want to duplicate and try to build a Golden State Warriors team. I get that. But I think what you are realizing is that it is essential in the NBA to be able to stretch the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they pack the paint on you.
Yeah, and if you're not going to be able to knock down shots and you see things are not falling in both of those games where you're shooting at that clip, do something else.
Post up.
Something else is post up, get some easy ones at the free throw line, D, where against the Cleveland Cavaliers, 10 of 13. Cleveland shot 16 of 20. Not a big discrepancy,
that one's not
but
a
enough
yep.
for them to, again, have an advantage over the Sixers in that category. It really bothered me on Wednesday
sure.
where they were 9 of 13, the Orlando Magic 26 of 34. What are you doing? So if you're not shooting the basketball well enough, and as you said, find some way to get some work done on the block. If that's not working either, get aggressive, get to the free throw line, and give yourself a chance, especially when you see the Orlando Magic doing the exact same thing to you, which is why they're able to even stay in the game in the first place early on and then take the lead the way they were later on as they were able to just simply wear you out because, as you pointed out, the defense wasn't good enough. Overall, aggression was not there on either end of the floor in the fourth quarter. D, in fourth quarter of the last four, 17.5 points per game for the 76ers. 13, 26, 16, and 15 were the totals for them in those fourth quarters. That, again, unacceptable.
And if you said two things about this team coming in, I'm sorry, when the lights went out.
That's right, the lights went out for the Sixers as well. I mean, come on.
But if you said two things coming into the season about this team, it was going to be they were going to be so good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
That has not been the case. And then on top of it, to not have figured out how you do want to get easy buckets. And they better figure it out fast. Now, I will say,
okay,
if they were 7-3 through 10 games, you shouldn't be upset. Right?
Yeah.
And I thought they could run the table on the next five.
Totally agree.
But I said, you know, 4-1, you wouldn't be that.
You take it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, stuff happens.
So that's still possible because the loss came at Orlando. So you got to now take care of it tonight. You see Cleveland again. You know, you just saw Cleveland. That you should be able to handle that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're coming home to a New York Knicks team that has their own troubles. So, I mean, I don't like how it looked the other night against Orlando. It was incredibly frustrating.
Very.
Frustrating to watch.
Yes.
But you could come out here tonight and look like the team that, you know, started the season 5-0.
And I was very frustrated after the Cleveland game, even though they won, just because they should not have been in that position. Anything can happen on any given night in the NBA. There's so many games. Someone can get hot. Kevin Love was playing well. Tristan Thompson had a very good game. Colin Sexton looked good. Jordan Clarkson off the bench looked very good. You didn't get much from Darius Garland, the rookie point guard from Vanderbilt. But John Beilein has them coaching, so they're not going to quit. They play hard, so you're going to get that effort. So you're going to also have to give that same effort to match them, if not better. And your talent should prevail because you are better, even if that talent level is matching. And that's where I was frustrated overall because I didn't think they gave it their all because while Cleveland is going to fight, you need to know that this team that is nowhere near your level is going to battle you to the end. They're going to give everything. They're going to drop every ounce on that floor to try to take you down. And you did not step up to that challenge. Now, ultimately, at the end, they did their job, what good teams do. They find a way, and they found a way. Great execution on a great play out of the timeout by Brett Brown. Tobias Harris, who was cold, as you pointed out, made two key baskets, an offensive rebound and a putback over Sexton. He was not going to be denied. Great. And then also about a 17-footer from the elbow area where he drilled that one, and then the pass to seal it for Embiid to get that dunk. But Kevin Love got a good look. Right?
Yes.
We could be
yes.
talking about something totally different. He got a really good look. Ben flew by, so he still had a chance to set his feet and get a good look and get a good shot off, and it did not fall, fortunately, for the 76ers. But I was ticked off in that game. And then you follow it up with the mess that we saw against the Orlando Magic the following night on Wednesday.
In a back-to-back situation.
We knew that there was going to be a possibility that Embiid rested because Horford rested on Tuesday. So Embiid is not going to play back-to-backs. As we know, he was going to sit. All right, we already know this. So go in there. And this really good defensive team, despite Orlando's record, Steve Clifford coaches a good – they play defense – you're going to have to win that game. And they came up small.
I don't know how you feel about this, but when I hear, you know, we haven't had everybody together enough. But that's because you're deciding that. Load management 10 games into a season. I don't understand it. I don't. Not if you're Al Horford. Not if you're Joel Embiid. I don't think it's necessary.
And both of the players don't want it, right?
I mean, that's what I'm told, but... then don't tell me that we don't know each other well enough. You can't have it both ways. You don't know each other well enough because you're sitting people.
Absolutely. It's the Sixers pregame show live from McStew's Irish Pub right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, 5316 New Falls Road in Levittown, PA, 350 Corona Light Drafts. Come on by, hang out. That's the special on the night. We have some great people already popping by to say hello. We certainly have to thank Bobby and Carissa for coming by and saying hello, listeners, hanging out with us this evening here at McStew's. So it's a great time. So 610-632-0975. Come out and hang out with us. The Sixers game right here on the Fanatic at 8. Tom McGinnis on the game call. I'll handle the pregame coverage after our show to speak to Tom in OKC to get the vibe of the team. But, D, as you spoke about Tobias Harris and his issues, and we can just talk about it. The last six games, 1 of 24 from deep. The last three-pointer that he made was against the Phoenix Suns in the first quarter, ice cold since.
Yeah, he's missed 23 straight three-pointers.
Yes, and in the last two, 0 of 14, right? 0 of 14 from
right.
deep.
Because he only took three the other night against Orlando. He was 0 of 11
because
in that Cleveland game.
He knew he wasn't hitting, and he had to find other ways to do it.
But here's the thing, and I saw the pregame show the other night, or postgame after the Orlando.
Yeah.
And the graphic, he shot 43% over an 82-game stint with the Clippers
yes.
from three-point range. So mm-hmm. going back to the year before.
An average and 21, I think it was.
Right. Mm-hmm. So 82 games, he shot 43. Then he comes to the Sixers last year, and in his time with the Sixers, 32.
Yes.
In his 11 games this year, that is now 23. I mean, that's gone 43, 32, 23. That is a serious drop-off.
Serious drop-off, and of course, the thing that we got from the Sixers after his poor performance on Tuesday was that he wasn't feeling well. And
did that carry over to the next night, too?
Apparently, but while you commend the guy for being out there the first night, if they said it, guess what? You played the minutes. I need something. And he came through in the clutch.
He did.
He came through three straight possessions for him. He came through in the clutch. But on Wednesday, he did not shoot as much. He only shot three, four of 13. He did get you, 8 points, 10 rebounds? So he does what he does, right? He gets on the glass and he competes that way.
He always gets on the glass,
yes.
Which I'll commend him.
You give him credit for that. He has to find a way.
He did have six assists. I had forgotten about that.
If he's out there, he has to find a way.
Yep.
Figure it out. Get on the block. Right? Go to work on the block against Evan Fournier if he's deciding that that's who's going to stick you. Put him down there on the block if Michael Carter-Williams is going to be trying to stick you. Yes, they have length. They are tall, but they are not physical enough to stop him, we think, with his back to the basket, with his post moves, the variety of moves that he has on the low block. He has to find a way to get better, D, or else it's going to be a long season for him.
Not only that, it's a big investment.
$180
million investment.
That's supposed to be your shooter. My other issue, before we get to the phone, 610-632-0975. You know I love the guy. You know where I'm going. Love him. Played against Cleveland after the shoulder injury, right? Came in, did what he did. All right, fine. Against the Orlando Magic, a better overall statistical game, 18 points, 8 and 6, correct?
Yep.
A team high 35 minutes for Ben Simmons. And I wasn't happy, though. He shot 12 times, 9 of 12, very efficient. That 9 of 12, 18, 8, and 6 is good when Embiid is on the floor. I needed 22 shot attempts to 25 shot attempts for Ben Simmons on that night, especially in the fourth quarter, D, because that's when it really called for your best player, the best player on the floor overall, to be just that. The all-star that he told us he was when Jack McCaffrey asked him preseason about his outside shooting, and he said, huh.
I'm an all-star.
That's a ridiculous question. I'm an all-star the way that I do it. Double back, clean that up. I needed more. If you didn't have to shoot a jumper, as you said, you're an all-star in the way that you play. Play that much higher of a level with the way that you play, and I need 10 to 12, 13 more shot attempts and zero free throws.
That's my thing.
And zero free throws. I needed all of that in that game. Because once the fourth quarter came and Harris and Horford weren't shooting well, Josh Richardson was giving you a decent game, Furkan Korkmaz, you can't count on him every night to give you an 18-point performance. I needed my best player to be the best player out there on the floor. And as much as we're going to get on Horford and Harris and the overall free throw attempts,
that's
the guy.
Yep.
That's the guy.
I got news for you. There's plenty of other guards who are playing better than, I mean, those are nice numbers, but if you're going to go to the eye test, those zero free throws in a game where the other team is going to the line nonstop in that fourth quarter, you didn't post anybody and you didn't try to go at somebody at the rim. It's a big problem. It's not a small thing that's missing in his game.
No.
And for the people who want to say what a great talent he is and say the 18 points on 9 of 12 shooting, you're missing the point. He needs to be able to carry his team in that moment.
Yes.
And he came so far from being able to do that.
Hollow numbers. Hollow numbers on Wednesday night against the Orlando Magic. I wrote it down, and I said this the last two nights, so people were like, Divine, you said that already. Well, I'm new here with D tonight, my running mate. D, I wrote it down where I'm looking at the game in the first quarter, I'm like, my man is over here settling for being a screener in the offense. That's what he's doing. He's screening for everyone. No, give me the ball, right?
Yeah.
And let's go to work.
Yeah. I mean, and if you look at the guards he's going up against.
What? I'm going to eat Markelle Fultz alive. I'm going to eat Fournier.
Michael Carter Williams.
DJ Augustine. I'm eating all of them up. If you dare to put them on, but it goes back to Phoenix. Dave, remember when we talked about this when I got mad at him again because Monty Williams puts Aaron Baines on him and he takes it and he accepts it and says, oh, okay, we'll do something else. Let me do this. No, punish that man.
I know.
Punish that man. They don't have DeAndre Ayton, so your backup is Frank Kaminsky or Diallo. What are you going to do?
Dribble.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't do it enough. Once Baines got physical with him the few times that he drove to the basket and tried to finish, all right, he backed away from that. 610-632-0975. The Sixers pregame show live from McStew's here in Levittown alongside my running mate, D. Lynam. Jamie Lynch is in the house as we are having a bunch of things to give away. As we said, the sweatshirts, hats, tickets to the Knicks game next Wednesday, and your chance to qualify for a trip to San Francisco on March 7th to see the Sixers take on the Golden State Warriors. All you got to do is sign up. We're here until 7:45, 8 o'clock, right around that time before the pregame show starts for the Sixers coverage. And then Tom McGinnis on the game call, 610-632-0975. Let's start things off on the pregame show with Josh and Manny Young right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Guys, great show as always. I'm living. I can't stand Simmons. I mean, he's a joker in the late in the game. I mean, I've never seen a guy who's supposed to be this once-in-a-generation player pass the ball and stand next to his defender. Man, let me tell you something. All you need to do is get back and transition defense, and it's 5-on-4 in end of game. He stinks. He's not shooting the ball. He's not aggressive. I'm tired. You know what? I want to give me Devin Booker. Give me somebody. At least Markelle Fultz was shooting the other night. He is awful. Come on. We're giving him too much credit. Not well. What is he doing to make a difference in the end of game situation? I want to know what type of defense. He was lousy in the pick and roll late in the fourth quarter. His numbers are hollow. Devon, you're absolutely right. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Not enough. And listen, again, go ahead.
I said not well to Markel Fultz's shooting.
No, I know.
I agree.
I was not talking about Ben.
Yeah, I agree. But at least he's shooting. At least he's shooting.
Well, no, you do give him that. At least he, as much as he has a problem, whatever the problem is, the thoracic nerve syndrome that he had, and Ben in this particular case just won't shoot the basketball. And while I've defended that because he is talented enough to get the numbers that we think he can and impact the game with his style of play, and my main thing, Josh, is of course getting to the free throw line and upping that percentage. Yeah. He's not even doing that, as we pointed out in this last game against the Orlando Magic. Zero free throw attempts in 35 minutes, handling the ball, being the screener, 9 of 12 from the floor. It's just simply not enough. And I love the guy, but you got to call it like you see it when it's the way that it is. And he has been underwhelming so far at the start of the season. Best player on the floor in game number one, and we haven't seen that same player since.
Yeah, and the Tobias Harris, he's a shooter. So, you know what? Shooters, at least he keeps shooting. Eventually, it'll get hot. He'll get out of that slump, let's hope.
True. I mean, shoot, but find other ways to shoot, Josh. Thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it, D. Find other ways to shoot.
He was fired up. I have to.
Oh, yeah, Josh, he called Ben out immediately. 610-632. He said he stinks. 610-632-0975. We're hanging out with you here at McStew's until 745 right here on the Fanatic, getting you ready for Sixers Thunder. 7-4 are the Sixers. The Thunder, 4-7, now led by Chris Paul. That's the Chris Paul team, and we'll get into the matchup with them as the show goes on. 610-632-0975, the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Your thoughts on the Sixers as they are right now, 7-4. The sky is not falling, but man, do they tick you off. D-line of Devon Givens, Sixers pregame show presented by Corona right here at McStew's Irish Pub right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Live from McStew's Irish Pub in Levittown, 5316 New Falls Road. D-line of Devon Givens for the Sixers pregame show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, presented by Corona. Sixers in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. That starts at 8 o'clock right here on The Fanatic. Tom McGinnis on the game call, 610-632-0975. You want to jump in on the phones. Great crowd here at McStew's. Again, the feature here tonight, presented by Corona, 350 Corona Draft Lights. So come and take advantage of that. Some great food here as well. Great spot. Some giveaways here by the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch is taking care of that, doing the commercial breaks, especially with the basketball, where you can come in here and win some things. And what was it, last week, where the guy knocked down 5 in a row?
5 in a row.
5 in a row. He just banged them out, 5 in a row, and won the tickets to the Cleveland game.
His opponent was so frustrated.
Oh, yeah, he was ticked off.
Yeah, he was.
610-632-0975. As we talk about the Sixers, and despite the good record of 7-4, just a frustrating start to the season as to where they are right now.
And I will say this, Devon, if you go and you look and you compare the road record, which is currently 3-4, I mean, there's the good teams have winning records. You know, if you want to look at the Bucks, if you want to look at the Celtics, good winning records. Out West, Lakers, Clippers, you know, good road records.
Yeah, you have to win on, you have to find a way to win on the road. We know in the past, the last couple of years, they've been performing very well on the West Coast when they go out there.
Last year they were
the Western Conference. Weren't they number one from the Eastern Conference in terms of the East playing the West with their overall record?
They may have been, but they still had a below 500 road record.
Road record.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So you got to find a way to get these done. And earlier when you started talking about the thing that Brett Brown pointed out about taking until Christmas to figure things out, right? By the way, it doesn't start in November anymore. The season starts in October.
October.
Right? So that's even longer.
And the player movement happens for everybody. So, I mean, the Lakers have a completely new roster. The Clippers have a completely new roster. They're not wasting time getting it together.
Stay in your own division, D. Stay in your own conference. Boston.
Boston, who's won nine in a row.
Toronto, losing their best player, but incorporating a same offense, but same system, but different stuff that they have to do, different people that they have to rely on and up in their level of play. And they're getting that stuff done. Boston has won nine in a row with Kemba Walker and his Cantor's new people, and they lose Gordon Hayward.
And they lose, and that's my other thing. When, by the way, watch out for Indiana because
Oladipo. Malcolm, my guy's playing well.
Right. And nobody's complaining that they don't have their guys who are also hurt. They're not complaining about it. They just go play.
No excuses. Stop making excuses. 610-632-0975. Dave in Center City is next on the pregame show right here on the Fanatic. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Devon. I want to touch about, I have an epiphany about your nephew or cousin. I want to make a comparison to an NBA player that he resembles. But firstly, I would never usurp the icon status of Mikey Miss and the A-Team, but Mikey Miss, I apologize. I did not agree with the line of the show today. I love you, buddy. Devon.
Yes.
Mikal Bridges reminds me of former Sixer Jermaine Jones. They're both 6'7". They both have wingspans of minute ball. They could both jump out of the building. Factually, I introduced Jermaine Jones to his wife, and I used to party with Jermaine Jones. But here's something interesting. He started game four and game five for the Sixers against the Lakers.
Yeah, he did in the finals.
They trade him to Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
They go somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, in 05, 06, he shows up with the Charlotte Bobcats, and he starts ripping off 28 a game, 32 a game. 40, 28, 29, 40, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, and he gets hurt. I think Mikal Bridges needs a change of scenery.
No.
Although the Phoenix Suns are a very good team.
Well, I'll just say this, Dave. Thanks for the call, man. First of all, appreciate the kind words from Mikal. I hate doing this, right? Well, I mean, all right, everyone knows he's my family, so I'll just say this. Well, I like Jermaine Jones for what Jermaine Jones did at the time. Mikal's fine in Phoenix. You got over the stuff with the Sixers draft and the trade. What's done is done. Right now, he's okay in Phoenix. Monty Williams is doing what Monty Williams is doing. He's playing 20 minutes a game. He'll be fine. New coach, right? So different things happen.
Sure.
New general manager. Different things happen. He's fine. He's better than Jermaine Jones. With all due respect to Jermaine Jones, who is still in the area a lot of times when he comes back to visit from Atlanta to go to the games as an alumni. But I'll pass on that comparison. Thank you, though.
I had to go look at Jermaine Jones in Charlotte and look at the numbers that he was talking about. I mean, he had three games in his, you know, that were 25 and more. But I don't know the relevance of...
That was a little disrespectful comparing him to Jermaine Jones. I'm offended, quite frankly. 610-632-0975. I need to go get my 25. I got my jacket, as a matter of fact, right here. My son. This is a Sixers show, not a Sun show. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in Liberty Heights on the Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, it's Woodbury Heights. That's okay.
Woodbury Heights. What's happening?
Yeah, Woodbury Heights. You guys bring up some great points. First off, I want to ask D about Brett Brown, but before I get to that.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to see any changes in Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is what he is. He is not a, takeover type player. He doesn't want to be that. He doesn't have the mindset for it. He's a deer in headlights. In the fourth quarter, will not shoot the ball, makes terrible backward passes, fundamentally wrong, doesn't get his feet set, doesn't use a jump stop. He doesn't get to the foul line. I can go on and on and on and on. He is what he is. and you're not
going
to win with him.
He would tell you is an all-star.
He could tell me he's an all-star D all day. I've been watching basketball for decades. I've been involved in the game for years. He will not get it done. And the reason why, he doesn't have a killer instinct. He does not. He doesn't. And guys that have a killer instinct, we've seen them in the past. Allen Iverson. He wasn't a great outside shooter. How often did he get to the foul line?
All the time.
All night.
All
Double
the
digits.
Time.
Yeah.
All the time he got to the foul line.
Well, you also know? Because and, he knew he was a good free throw shooter. This guy doesn't.
Yes.
This guy's not a good free throw shooter, and he hasn't done anything to make that better.
That's right. So, D, here's my question. Okay, you are the daughter of a successful basketball coach. You know the game. Please be honest with me. What is your assessment at this point of Brett Brown? Is he going to get these guys to where we want them to get? Is he the man or not?
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Well, I mean, look, some days we like the coach, some days we don't, for how the team is playing. That he has promised that Ben is a different kind of player because he was going to shoot, that has not happened. There is nothing different there. He did say there was going to be something different, and it isn't.
No.
He is not a better free throw shooter. I know he's 23 years old.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Third year in the league playing. Fourth year being able to improve your shooting.
Uh-huh.
4 years worth.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. So I do hold him somewhat accountable for that. And I do think it
Brett
is.
Brett or Ben?
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, personally, fine. You want to have your brother as your shooting coach? Okay. But if nothing changes, then no, you can't have him because I'm not getting the results that I'm told or that we've decided we need.
Mm-hmm.
So then I need to go in a different direction.
Yeah, the thing we know, of course, 610-632-0975, not holding the young players accountable over the years, the star players, because in the past we've had stuff that has happened with the Okafor, Noel, Carter Williams, for that matter. It goes all the way back to then, and then when Embiid and Simmons stuck around longer than the others, at this point, it's too late to say back in year number one, oh, okay, Ben, shoot the ball when you're open. Hey, Ben, shoot the ball when you're open. Ben, shoot the ball when you're open. Oh, you're not shooting the ball? Come sit next to me.
Right.
Come have a seat. It's too late for that now.
I mean, I am going to say, if you don't do something about this, you are going to be in the same place this spring that you were last spring. And what are you going to do with the guy?
And the 25 pounds that we talked about that Embiid lost. And we said this, too.
But I said when you put on 25 and then you lose 25, you didn't do anything different.
No. And
some say it was more than 25.
All right. Well, and game shape.
Meaning the up
25.
To then have to take it down.
To have to knock it back down. 610-632-0975. Rob wants to say, we're overreacting, D. So I want to hear from Rob and Overbrook, Vinny, Brian, B-Hawk, Max, and Mike. Hang on. We'll get to you on the other side as we broadcast live from McStew's Irish Pub here in Levittown, 5316 New Falls Road. The pregame show presented by Corona with D-Line. I'm Devon Givens. We're here until 745 right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
645, 97.5, The Fanatic, live from McStew's Irish Pub here in Levittown, PA, 5316 New Falls Road. Great crowd in here as we hang out for the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona. 350 Corona Draft Lights are the special here tonight. So come on, hang out. It's a Friday night. What are you worried about? You can sit down and watch the Sixers, listen to it on the Fanatic. D-Line, I'm Devon Givens with you until 7:45. Game time, 8 o'clock from Oklahoma City, taking on the 4-7 Thunder, led by now Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. pretty good level of talent there in the West, so it's a little bit tough for them to really get things going. And they have new pieces, D, by the way. You know, excuse.
They also have some pieces we've seen. Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens.
Mike Muscala.
Yes.
See some old faces there.
Yes, some nice old faces there.
By the way, you were a little frustrated with the lack of scoring from Simmons through 11 games, correct?
Yes, he had 24 in the opener against Boston. He was clearly the best player on the floor, and we haven't seen that level of just because I felt like he just controlled things that game where he was a clear standout, and right now he has not been a standout.
22 point guards in the league average more points than Ben Simmons.
22
point guards.
And he's at what, 13 right now? 13 and a
half?
He's
almost at 14. 13.9.
13.9. And he's played in 9 of the 11 games? Or 10?
Yes, my bad.
9?
Yeah.
Okay.
9 of them.
9 of the 11.
But this is average. So
and
I'm
if
just...
you, if I don't even need to look at the list. I'm assuming that most of them are scoring guards or no?
No, these are point guards.
Scoring point guards.
Yes.
Damian Lillard, of course.
Yeah, you know the guys
Walker,
at the top.
Kyrie
James
Irving,
Harden.
James Harden.
Yeah, but I mean, we're also talking about guys like Colin Sexton, who we just saw.
Yep.
Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Graham, who doesn't even start for Charlotte. We saw him.
Yep. Nice development there in Charlotte with him.
Terry Rozier is even better than him, scoring-wise. And he hasn't been great this year.
Yeah.
The guy you'll see who comes off the bench for OKC tonight, Schroeder.
Yeah.
More than Ben.
Wow. Okay. 610-632-0975. Come on.
I mean, just when we're talking about a guy that needed to step up when you didn't have him beat on the floor the other night, that's a winnable game against Orlando that you had a 2-point lead going into that fourth quarter, and you completely let it get away.
18 points were not enough. In the fourth quarter, I believe he played 9 minutes in that quarter. And he's 1 of 2 from the floor, no free throws still, because he had 0 free throws in the game.
For the game.
In case people didn't know. Let's go to Rob in Overbrook, who tells us to, let's calm down a little bit. Rob, what's going on? You're on the Fanatic.
D&D, two of my favorites. How y'all doing?
What's happening, Rob?
Not much. I got a lot to get off my chest, but and I don't have that much time. But I need to make my Ben Simmons point last, so please allow me to make that.
Go for it.
I think we're overreacting because most NBA experts will tell you you need 25 games to make a fair assessment. The entire league is struggling in some form or fashion. I mean, just look at the Denver Nuggets. So we need to let it play out. The shooting will come around. If you look at some of these guys' career averages, Horford, Tobias, Mike Scott, Jefferson, their career averages are pretty decent. So it's going to stabilize. The shooting will stabilize. The problem is that when you don't out-rebound your opponent by a lot and you have poor shooting, you're going to have these type of games. So they have to rebound the ball better if they're not going to shoot as well.
Well, we thought that was going to be one of their strengths because in the first game against Boston, I believe they had a 20-plus rebound advantage.
That's what you have to have if you're not going to shoot well. That's my point.
Or
that's
get to the free throw line as well. Last night, I mean, on Wednesday night, Rob, they got to the free throw line. How many times? 13 in the last two games.
Exactly.
Each. Right. That's unacceptable. If you're not shooting well, like you said, it's going to come around. You have to be aggressive and find other ways. Get on the offensive glass. Get those second chance points.
Exactly.
They are not doing it.
Exactly. The second thing is that it's effort that frustrates me. Like, I don't mind poor offense because That's just going to happen. That's the way basketball is. But effort on defense. If you don't have effort, then you're going to have these type of games, and it's going to look ugly, and it's going to be bad. They're losing because of effort. They're not coming out there with effort every night. And that's why the defense is not as good as we thought it was going to be. It's all effort. That's what defense is about. My third point is your boy Ben Simmons.
My boy?
Not our boy.
Yeah, yours too.
Our boy. I like Ben
Simmons. We got to take it on the chin on this one real fast. That's all.
Yeah, I like Ben Simmons. But, Devon, I told you last year, and I'm going to tell you again this year, he's not a point guard. He's just not a point guard. He's a phenomenal talent. He has a decent basketball IQ, but he doesn't have a point guard IQ. I watched this kid get a fast break, beat the entire defense, He has one man in front of him in the basket. He stops, throws the ball behind him, turns the ball over the other night.
Yeah. Well, he does that a lot. We've all acknowledged that.
Did y'all see Ja Morant, that last play, that winning shot the other night?
Yeah.
Ben Simmons can't do that. He can. He still gives the ball up to Josh Richardson, Jimmy Butler, whoever he can get a ball up at the end of the game because he don't want to go to the free throw line. He's not a point guard. He's just not. I don't care about his shoot. He can never. He doesn't have to take another jump shot in his life, but you got to get to the free throw line and you got to be aggressive. And you got to get your teammates involved, which is why your offense is struggling because you don't have a point guard. You put Chris Paul on this team, Dame Lillard on this team, they're far better. Not saying I want to trade them for them, but I'm just saying you put a point guard or a similar to a point guard on this team, they're far better.
Well, listen, man, thanks for the call, Rob. Great stuff.
He is a point guard, though. I mean, Rob's wrong that he has things that he's lacking in terms of being a good free throw shooter, wanting to get to the line. Those are things that you hope to have in your point guard, but he is a point guard. He is. He can handle the ball. He can see the floor. He's excellent at distributing. And one of the beauties of Ben is that he can take it off the rim and get you going. Boom. He doesn't need to outlet it to somebody.
It is great when he does it and successful. But when he does the other thing that he was pointing out, Rob was pointing out, turning the ball over, that's when we get
totally agreed,
infuriated by what he does. But I'm okay with him being the point. I've always been okay with him being the point guard. And we've seen some times where he's allowed himself to play off the ball, like we talked about earlier in the game, in this show, where I pointed out that he decided he wanted to be a screen man against Orlando in that game on Wednesday night. And, okay, it might help the offense with how you need to do things, but if you're going to be the man off the ball, demand the ball in other ways for you to be successful and get your team some points and get yourself into a successful situation.
Two things. He also said, look at Denver. I am looking at Denver. They're 8-3. I don't know why I look at Denver, meaning for...
I guess the shooting percentage, but they're winning.
They're winning. They're
and
fine.
And the Sixers are winning as well. Yeah, they were 8-3. We would still... how did it happen? How did they lose? Why are we in the situation that we're talking about things? That's where we're coming from, Rob, in particular.
And the Sixers are 5th in the league in rebounding. However, I am a little surprised because that number drops to 14 in terms of their offensive rebounding. And when you know there's a lot of missed shots, there should be a concerted effort.
Crash
the glass.
Box
exactly.
out. Especially when you know Al Horford may not be a numbers rebounder, but he's a space eater for you to get the rebound.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
610-632-0975. Mike, Max, John, Brian, Vinny, and Glenn. Thanks for calling, guys. Hang on the other side. We're going to get to your phone calls. Great spot we are tonight at McStew's Irish Pub here in Levittown, 5316 New Falls Road. We'll talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder as well in the next segment. We go until 7:45 overall because we have the pregame show. Then Tom McGinnis on the game call. So D-Line of Devon Givens, Sixers pregame show live from McStew's presented by Corona right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Here on 97.5, The Fanatic. 7 o'clock on the dot right here. 97.5, The Fanatic from Miss Stu's Irish Pub here at 5316 New Falls Road in Levittown, Pennsylvania. Pre-game show presented by Corona. The 350 Corona Light Drafts are the special tonight. Come on, hang out this Friday. You don't have to work tomorrow. You got the Sixers tonight getting ready for the Eagles game as well on Sunday. So come on out, hang out with us. The game starts at 8 o'clock, 7:45. We sign off. Get ready for the pregame show. Tom McGinnis and the game call right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. D, before we get back to the phone, 610-632-0975, I have to ask you, you know, the breaking news last night, it was all over. It was nice, the basketball news. Carmelo Anthony back in the league.
Looked weird with the Blazers, in that uniform.
With the Blazers.
Yes, I know.
Oh, he was practicing? I didn't see him yet.
Picture of him in that Blazers uniform was on Instagram, and it just looks so strange.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
It does. Houston looks strange. Oklahoma City looks strange. It's almost as if he had to be in a Nugget or Nick uniform his entire career, but here he is. What do you think?
Yeah, well,
I think he belonged in the league, first of all.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the thing I've always said about him, he's a volume scorer.
Yes.
So I don't think he's a starter in this league now. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't played in a while. Mm-hmm. And his last couple of stops, it just hasn't worked out for him. I don't know how Portland will be different than that. Unless he can change where when he gets in a game, he doesn't need as many shots or as many minutes to find a way to be effective.
I think with him, in this particular case with the Portland Trailblazers, and we spoke about Damian Lillard, we always hear that he's a great leader. He is a great leader, and everyone loves playing with him. So in the cases of Harden and Paul and then Russell Westbrook and Oklahoma City, with the Oklahoma City Thunder,
maybe they weren't the right guys
for him? Maybe it wasn't the right leadership. And the situations where he has now been out of the league for as long as he has, and the opportunity so is hitting him. And he's like, okay, I have to accept the role finally, right? That he is going to be someone that comes off the bench. He's not going to get the volume of shots that he's accustomed to. And the leader, though, that Damian Lillard is, he'll find a way to get everyone shots. And maybe Terry Stotts, a very good coach, will find a way with that second unit where he was able to feature him a little bit from time to time if he has it going. Yes, he is a mid-range king. And maybe they'll just accept the fact that he's a mid-range king and let everyone else do what they do, firing it up from deep.
But from 3-point, yeah.
Yeah, but I like the situation because of the coach, the leader that they have in Lillard and even McCollum. And I hope he succeeds. I do. I've always been a fan of his.
I'm assuming, because they play at the Spurs tomorrow night, I'm assuming that'll be his first opportunity.
Well, Woj from ESPN just put out there that, according to sources, he isn't expected to make his Blazers debut before Tuesday's game at New Orleans.
Got you.
So they'll give him some time, get acclimated to the offense.
I mean, you and I both know there's no practicing at this point.
Right.
Not much.
But,
I mean, you're walking through stuff.
Yeah, walk through, let him get through the playbook and watch some video, whatever he might have to do to get ready. Because he's been playing, but he hasn't been in game shape. So he's going to take some time. But
there's a little irony that he's signed and Cap's going to do that workout tomorrow.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yep, it's like, it is. Yeah, everything's happening.
Things are happening.
Things need to happen for the Sixers in this case as well. As we go back to the phones, we head to Jersey with Mike right here on the Sixers pregame show. Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right.
So, kills me to say this because I live, breathe, and bleed Sixers basketball. And I've been watching since Casper Ware and Alexi Shved, and I've been invested in this whole process. But last year was the year. Unless a big trade happens. Because Ben Simmons is making $175 million, and this big summer that he was talking about and all these improvements he's made, I haven't seen it. He hasn't done anything differently that he's been doing the last 3 years, and I think he has his money, and he's fine with it. And the last caller, Rob, said how he's not a point guard. I believe what he meant in that sense was he's not because he can't create his own shot late in games. He can't play ISO basketball because defenders just drop back and the paint gets clogged, and you know he's not shooting. So he can't close out games for you. And Tobias Harris is on a 5-year, $180 million contract. And to be honest, at this point, I think I'd rather have Carmelo Anthony. He costs you nothing. And I guarantee you he can shoot 4 from 40 from three like Tobias Harris has been doing.
He can definitely do that. Yeah. As far as Ben being a point guard, D said it. He is a point guard. The point of that you just made as well about him not being able to create for himself. He can create for himself. And defenders, here's the thing, too, Mike. One of the things that people talk about with the defense, but it's looked at as a negative, they can still play the way that they play by sagging off. But defenders will tell you, Mike, it is still problematic when you have that 235, 240, 610 frame coming at you, even in that small area, that small space where they have to figure out how to play him because it's so hard to do. The thing is, they know that he's not going to shoot a jump shot, so they're getting themselves ready for some sort of layup, jump hook, right, floater, but it's not even really a floater in his case. It still is hard, but he makes it harder on himself, where I wouldn't really give that. I give credit to the defense, but I put more of the blame on him than giving that credit for the defense.
Well, also the defense knows that they can just hack him and go up strong, because if they send him to the line, he's not making his free throws.
That's very true.
I just believe that Elton Brand did a heck of a job, like, before the year started, and we were all invested thinking that this was going to be a championship roster. We are 7-4, but one of our wins was in Portland. Ben Simmons hit 2 free throws when that rarely happens, and Furkan Korkmaz hit a game winner. That may never happen again.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at, and we beat Cleveland by 1 at home, and we just lost to Orlando. So I'm just really disappointed with how this team, I just want a big trade. Like, last year there was a lot of roster turnover. We started with Fultz, Covington, Šarić. And we had Muscala, Chandler, Shamit.
What was that about? Seven, 8 games in? Wasn't that about 7-8 games in, guys?
The
Thanks
Butler,
for the call, Mike.
Yeah, November 11th.
Yeah, so that was quick.
Yep.
That was quick.
I'm just telling people. Now, I'm not saying that he won't make a move, he being Elton Brand, in terms of getting shooting, if, in fact, that is what they need. But this roster, and he said it many times, he even said it on the air when he came with us on our round table. You know, one of the things he was so looking forward to was handing over a roster that was going to be able to grow together. And that is why you have these guys who are on these contracts, because they hope to have these guys together for a number of years.
Yeah.
They're not looking to move these pieces.
No.
They want it working.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely do. 610-632-0975. I want to ask you about Josh Richardson and his play as well. D. Vinny in West Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, Vin?
What's going on, Devon? Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Hey, great, great. Hey, listen, we know about Vincent. We know how I feel about him.
Yes.
Devon, whatever. Hey. But that being said, me and D, we talked about the turnover issue. That's the problem. Here lies the problem. We can deal with Ben Simmons. We can use him. He's on our team. Let's just use him for his strength. Stop beating him, because he's not going nowhere. Unless Brett Brown go, then he may go. The turnover issue got to change. It's not just him, Simmons, and B. They just turn the ball over, and that's the problem.
And you know what? I looked at it yesterday, too. I don't know what changed late last night, Vin and D. I was looking at the turnovers that the team averages on the season and where they are right now. They are at 28th in the league with 18 turnovers a night.
Yeah,
28th.
Well, in Brett Brown's history of being here, they've been the worst or second worst every year, with the exception of last year. I think they crept up to fifth.
It's not being corrected. How long can it go on, D? I mean, Elton Brand going to look at it as we looking at it. It has to be corrected. And I don't know, are they practicing? Is this thing weird to me? Like,
you know what's crazy about
every game?
You playing ball, D, you knowing ball the way you do, and sometimes just natural instinct says, you know, you're trying to make a play, a positive play. You know what you shouldn't be doing out there. And at some point it has to click in and themselves to stop having these dumb turnovers that they have.
Agreed. That's the problem I see. Are you guys going to get it? Like, and B, you constantly dribbling the ball. You're getting stripped every time you do it. 9 out of 10 times you put the ball on the floor, he gets stripped.
Well, I'll tell you two things. One,
thanks, Vin. Appreciate
the other
it.
Night was the first time I ever heard Brett Brown actually be concerned
Charlotte,
about the turnovers.
After Charlotte game, right? That was at
no,
home.
The one at home, Cleveland.
Oh, the Cleveland one. Okay,
yeah,
I thought
yeah,
it was
yeah.
Charlotte on Sunday. That's what
it might have been.
Was.
You're right. It could have been that one. You're right. It was Charlotte at home. But the point being, up until this point, he has always kind of said, we look at and analyze the turnovers and put them into categories. Some of them are okay, and some of them are a result of the pace we like to play. I hear you, but when you put that out there, it says to your group, it's okay to not, you know, honor
yep.
the ball or, mm-hmm. or take care of the ball.
Yep.
And that was the first time that I've ever heard him really actually say it's a problem.
It's a problem.
Okay, well, what about the last 5 years?
Did you hear the great quote from Mike D'Antoni when a reporter asked him if the Rockets had a problem? You heard that great quote?
No, I didn't.
He said, no, we don't have a problem, but if we don't think we have a problem, we have a problem. The Sixers have a problem in that regard. 610-632-0975. Max, John, Brian, Chris, and Glenn. Hang on. We come right back. We get to you guys on the phones. We're running until 745. 610-632-0975. Right here, D-Line of Devon Givens, live from McStew's Irish Pub, 5316 New Falls Road in Levittown, where we are featuring 350 Corona Light Drafts. The pregame show is presented by Corona right here as we broadcast from McStew's right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
717, 97.5 The Fanatic, McStew's Irish Pub, hosting us tonight for the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona. D-Line and Devon Givens. The address, the location, 5316 New Falls Road in Levittown, PA. A lot of people have found us. They come to hang out with us, D.
I know.
We got a pool table. We got games going on over there in the pool table, right? The Coronas are flowing in here. 350 special Corona light drafts here in the building.
Jamie Lynch has everybody fired up playing some basketball.
Yeah. I think somebody already won the Sixers tickets, huh?
Yes.
To the Knicks game. Yeah.
I think that was because they knew Dana Barris went to Boston College.
Yeah, that was an easy one for us.
That was a Sixers alumni, I guess we would call it, right? Yeah. Back in the day.
All-star.
Yeah.
Remember he made the All-Star team?
We could use some shooting from Dana Barris right now with
dropping
the Sixers.
50. Give me Willie Burton dropping 50. I don't care. I'll take one of them. 610-632-0975. We do want to tell you about the Fanatic Pro Shop. Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports theme merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing right now, just in time for the holiday gift shopping. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 97.5 The Fanatic. To hit us up on the phones, 610-632-0975. 7 o'clock, this is the hour, 7:45. We're out of here, handing things off to me for the Sixers pregame show on the Sixers Radio Network, and then Tom McGinnis on the game call. But to talk about some Sixers right now, Max in Allentown has hit us up because he is done with Ben Simmons. D, let's go to Max on the Fanatic pregame show. What's going on, Max?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I've been done with Ben Simmons. And, you know, last year I said, you got to, at the trade deadline, you got to trade him. At the end of the year, I said, you got to trade him. You know, bring in Kemba Walker. You know, re-sign Jimmy Butler and build around Embiid. That was the formula. Unfortunately, right now, this is insanity watching this team. It's insanity. Because doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is insanity by definition. And for whatever reason, Elton Brand, you know, he's sticking with them. I don't know. You guys are drinking the Kool-Aid thinking he was going to change over the summer with his shot. The bottom line is the guy is what he is. He's not a shooter. He's 6'10 with ambidextrous, and that's why he can't shoot free throws. He doesn't have a flick of the wrist, and he doesn't have a dominant hand. And it's disgusting, you know, to watch, wow, you know, this guy con everybody every year. It's the same thing. When are we going to, you know, come to reality and make a deal? Trade this guy for whatever you can get. Even
I wonder
if it's
how true the
number
reports
one
were, guys, last year when we heard that when Elton Brand, of course, took over at the beginning of the year, he made the Jimmy Butler move. How true were the reports? I have no idea. And, Jay, I'm not trying to put you on the spot with anything either. Where there were those talks out there that they were discussing possibly in conversation moving Ben Simmons. I don't think it was.
I would tell you no.
Yeah, I'm sure they may have taken phone calls.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they were actively pursuing to find a new home for him, Max.
Well, Jimmy Butler's not here because of Ben Simmons, okay? He can't play with him. He realizes this guy, you know, is just playing out of position, and he's flawed. Yeah, he might be an all-star, but I mean, he's kind of a freak. He's basically a Tony Kukoc, maybe a little bit more athletic. You can't
he's definitely
build a
more
team
athletic
around
than
him.
Kukoc. That's true. And he's supposed to be, he and Josh Richardson are supposed to be able to lock down defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a lot of guards that have had success in these first 11 games against the Sixers.
Well, you know what it is? It's almost like Allen Iverson in reverse. When Larry Brown had to construct a team based on Allen Iverson's strengths and weaknesses, and Allen Iverson was a 6-foot shooting guard, so Larry Brown had to have Eric Snow as a 6'4 point guard to play defense on the bigger off guard. With Ben Simmons, it's the same thing in reverse. You know, you just can't mask the deficiencies. It's just too much. This guy, all of his strengths get canceled out with this team and Embiid. You have to put Embiid on the perimeter because they all sink and close in on Embiid because they know Ben Simmons can't shoot the ball. Well, it's madness. It's absolute insanity to watch this.
Max, thanks for the call, man.
You know, I have often thought, if you said to another coach in the league, if you had this team, how would you use Ben Simmons?
I think they would play him off the ball, to be perfectly honest with you.
Like,
allow him to be a point forward type. Of
all right,
course,
so play him at the four.
Grab the rebounds, push. Sometimes we'll set you up to do things in that way, but having the extra ball handler to take some of that pressure. Not really Jimmy Butler, but an actual point guard. Not me saying Ben is not one, but another point guard to go with him on the floor.
I mean, the problem is
the four.
The problem is most people in this league at the four are stretch fours. He can't do that.
Stretch, yeah.
Honestly, they probably are playing him at the one position that if he distributes and finds people, by the way, by definition, point guard runs the offense, mm-hmm. then that's maybe the best place to hide him.
I know I'm repeating myself, but I remember when the draft took place and Ben came in and Brett said he was point forward. And he was going to play point
that.
Forward. And
yeah.
then a week later, when they started rookie camp for the summer league camp, he said he was a point guard. And we have not looked back since.
No, we have not.
We have not looked back since. 610-632-0975. Brian and Plymouth Meeting B next on the Sixers pregame show. What's up, B?
Hey, well, I got to say that Simmons and Kukoc is at least a better comp than Jermaine Jones and Mikal Bridges.
You like the Jermaine Jones?
I love Jermaine Jones, though.
I did, too. But the other
thing about Kukoc could shoot. I mean, how do you even put that in that sentence?
I guess because of floor vision, but
you know what? B and D, when you bring up the Tony Kukoc thing, I always talk about when that trade happened. That's an underrated piece in that trade when it comes to the NBA Finals. Tony Kukoc as an extra facilitator and scorer for the Sixers back in that run.
I've specifically talked to D about this on the air. What could have been if Theo had never gotten hurt?
Yeah, man. Tony Kukoc could hoop, man.
I mean, Shaq would have crushed us, but we might have been able to run rings around him and had him huff and puff him.
Game number two and three.
I love
him.
But he was one of the guys, and they had a handful of them that the Sixers got them past their prime.
Yes.
Same with Big Dog.
Yeah.
Same with Kukoc was one of them. Really, even Elton Brand,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so to reiterate, tonight's going to be the first of at least 5 wins in a row. And next week, everyone's going to be back on the Matisse-Thybulle MVP bandwagon. this was going to take time. You guys both know that I've been Team Tobias. I mean, we would have picked up at least 2 more wins if he hasn't been as dreadful as he has, right? Torches and pitchforks out for our 2 superstars. I mean, he's been awful. I think we could have won a championship if we ran it back with Butler. I think we can win a championship with this current team. I think at any point we could flip Tobias Harris for Chris Paul and the Thunder, Sam Presti would be running for the fax machine to get that trade in and we could win a championship with Chris Paul because we have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And everything's going to be fine.
Everything's going to be fine.
Chris Paul for Tobias?
No, I mean, I'm saying as an example, though. I mean, it's not Tobias Harris, the contract is totally movable, you know, if things don't work out. But hopefully he'll turn it around.
That's a max deal.
What's up?
I said you think moving a max deal with a, if the guy isn't shooting, and right now it's 23% from three, and it's been continually going down. I mean,
Sure, because Paul's, I mean, just to use that as an example, because Paul's number balloons up so high, the Thunder would love to get off that because they could just flip Tobias Harris. Because they could. I mean, the problem is that Tobias is like, he's really not doing anything in the flow of the offense, and which is a concern. I mean, I'm concerned that he's not, when he gets an open three, he's not just rising up and knocking it down. If he's an ISO player, ISO players just aren't going to fit in what we need to do with Joe and Ben. So.
Well, and that's where the conversation came last season with Jimmy Butler. Brian, thanks for the call, man. D, right?
Yeah. I mean, but they did sign him to be that guy. I mean, he's supposed to be the guy you can go to score the ball. Mm-hmm. They made a choice. Now, whether they actually had a choice, but let's, for argument's sake, say they had a choice. They chose Tobias to stay over keeping a Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
That's the choice.
Yeah, and he's averaging 16.5 with 8 rebounds, but it just doesn't seem right.
Well, we agree that he always goes to the glass.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we really want to see.
And he made two big baskets in that meltdown against Cleveland.
I need him to be a 20-plus point scorer in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has enough talent around him for that to be the case. 610-632-0975. John and Ben Salem next on the Sixers pregame show. What's up, John?
Hey, Devon, Denise.
What's happening?
Hello.
Happy Friday to both of you.
Not too far from here, man. How come you didn't swing by?
Well, just like yourself, man. I'm paying the bills. I'm at work.
I'm taking
a quick break to shout out. But I'm thinking about getting this all done early. How long are you guys going to be there? I might have to come buy you a beverage.
We're out of here in about 15 minutes, man.
I ain't going to make it that
all
fast.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'll take the rain check. Listen, I have a point to get to about the accountability. That's why I called originally. But throughout the course of waiting, I've heard so much on Ben Simmons. Can I please throw this out there? Why does everyone acknowledge Ben is a phenomenal physical talent with untraditional speed and size and strength at the point guard position, and yet we still talk about him, we want him to play like a 6'1 point guard? Come on, people. Enough already.
That's not what they want him to do. They want him to get to the foul line, which most point guards do. He averages 3 free throw attempts per game, and he shoots 56% at the line. Most point guards, when they're closing out a game, have the ball in their hands because they can go to the line and make free throws. That's what good point guards are able to do.
I agree, but D will tell you, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, and he doesn't need to shoot to be aggressive. Am I right?
I didn't say anything about shooting. I said he has to go to the foul line to be able to close out a game. He cannot do that.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Well, I didn't
agree.
Bring up the shooting. I brought up foul shots.
No, I mean, everyone else brings up the shooting of like a traditional point guard, but the guy's just not a traditional point guard, period. He's just not. That just bothers me anyway. The problem I think I see with the Sixers, you guys touched on briefly earlier, and I actually mentioned it in my call last night, is accountability, and that's the real issue. I think you were very much right, Devon, that it might be too late. A shout-out to Lance from Phoenix, a great caller, made a point a few nights ago that he thinks that it would take something as extreme, and I hope this isn't the case, as Brett getting fired for that kind of change in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to say, hey, we just got this guy fired. We need to buckle down and act like professionals finally.
Yeah,
Agree with that, or am I worrying about something that may not happen at all? Do you think it's something that would bring about the change that might be needed?
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you checking in from work.
Well, I'm going to say this, that Ben's numbers are very comparable to what he was a year ago, slightly down in his rebounding and assists, but he's only played 9 games thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has comparable numbers, that warranted him going to the All-Star game. Embiid, one of the top 3 centers in this league. I mean, some may say the best. I'll just say top 3 for sure. That you want more in certain situations from both of them? Yes. what will ultimately determine all three of their futures, meaning Ben, Joel, and Brett Brown, in terms of being together, will be where are they come June? What have they accomplished? If they're not in the Eastern Conference Finals, likely the guy running the show on the sideline will be gone.
This is true.
But you're not going to know that until June, and you will probably continue to see a lot of the same individually and how they play as a group.
This is true. Sixers pregame show with D-Line and Devon Givens live from McStew's, 5316 New Falls Road, McStew's Irish Pub in Levittown, PA. 350 Corona Light Drafts is the special on tap. We're here for one more segment and then Sixers coverage live from Oklahoma with City with Tom McGinnis. And of course, I'll handle the pregame duties right here from McStew's. So hang around. Final segment on the other side, 610-632-0975. Chris, Phil, Kevin, got you on the other side here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment of the Sixers pregame show right here live from McStew's Irish Pub, 5316 New Falls Road in Levittown, PA. D-Line of Devon Givens presented by Corona. Sixers Thunder coming up at 8 o'clock. The pregame coverage starts around 7:50. I will be handling that, and then we will check in with Tom McGinnis live from, what is it, still Chesapeake Arena? I don't even know.
That's what it was when I was still there.
Yeah, so Oklahoma City is where we will be talking to Tom McGinnis from the building. 610-632-0975. Dude, we still have a lot of people. We have so much stuff to talk about, and we only have one more segment. So did you want to jump in on anything? Are you ready to get to the phones?
Go to the phones.
Give these guys an opportunity.
Give the people a chance.
Give the people a chance, and we do that with Kevin and Maple Shade here on the Sixers pregame show. Kevin.
Yo, D, what's up, guys? How you doing?
How are you?
Ah, man, I'm all right. I was wondering if you guys had to take a look at how many more threes Al Horford has shot this season already than last year. I know we talked about, like, the bully ball that was supposed to be, but I don't know if he's just, you know, taking what's available with Embiid being down low. I just feel like he's playing a lot more outside than he is inside so far. What do you guys think about that?
It's a result of playing with Embiid.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, that's what you expected. And again, if you're going to play the power forward position, which is what Al Horford is, and a lot of times in this day and age, that is a stretch four, which is why you have him outside and because you want the presence of Embiid down low.
Right. And, you know, Devon, I was thinking, you know, Ben was going to take his Giannis step in, you know, his third year of playing here. I'm not as down on him as everybody else is, but are you more surprised that Ben, and again, I don't think he's ever going to be a three-point shooter. I'm with D. If he can be aggressive and go to the lane and go to the foul line 10-plus times a night, that's what we need. But are you more surprised that him not shooting or the lack of production? Because I thought that we were going to get a lot more out of Tobias, more of the Clippers Tobias this year with him having the ball
yes.
and not having Jimmy around. And even Jay Rich, like if we were getting the 20 from Tobias and then what Jay Rich was doing in Miami, I know we paid Ben, but we wouldn't need as much offense from Ben if we were getting numbers from both of them guys to start the season.
Yeah. Well, Kev, great stuff, man. Thanks for the call. I'm less surprised about Ben's lack of shooting. And
right.
I'm more surprised.
Very surprised with the Tobias.
Yes.
We thought he was a 20-point scorer.
Yeah, I'm more surprised with the overall of everyone else, including Tobias Harris.
And Al Horford is averaging two more three-point attempts. It's early, but two more per game than he did last year with Boston.
And number one, as you said, the game calls for it.
Yep.
And the game also calls for it because Embiid is not out there a few other times. And even his 5 of 18, D, from the field overall, and I think he shot 2 of 8 from deep. on Wednesday. But I wasn't mad at him. It was the flow of what the game was, yep, and the fact that no one else could get anything really consistently going, even though you got 18 and 17 from Ben Simmons and Josh Richardson, respectively. It just wasn't enough, and the Orlando Magic were in it, and you're trying to knock these guys down. You're trying to give them that gut punch, and a lot of the Horford is going to take stuff in the flow. He's not going to go away from what the offense is, and that's what he's getting. So I'm not even mad at him for the lack of the two extra threes, and if you will, the lack of production.
I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with him. I mean, except for the one game against.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, Charlotte, I think it was. It was like, come on.
I will say this, that we kind of harp on the lack of what Tobias has done from deep, but Richardson is struggling from three as well. I mean, he's shooting 28%. And the group as a whole ranked 24th in the league from behind the arc. And they're 18th in the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. So we know the three-point shooting, or lack thereof, is contributing to that number of being 18th in the league. But it says that they are not going to their strengths at the offensive end.
Yep.
They're not.
They're absolutely not. Let's go to Philip in New Jersey on the Fanatic. What's up, Phil?
Hello, folks. How y'all doing tonight?
Good.
You know, I just tuned in and I heard one caller commenting on, I think you all disagreed with a previous caller that said Ben Simmons is not a point guard. And I want to agree with that caller. And I've been saying this forever. A lot of people have been saying it forever, that Ben Simmons is not a point guard. And he's playing the point position, but he's not a point guard. And when people talk about whether it's point guard or point forward, those are just semantics. You know what I'm saying? Guard or forward or whatever.
If you're going to say that, what is a point guard? I need to know what your definition of a point guard is.
I was great getting that. Now, the guard position overall, the two guard positions, I think they're scoring. They generate points for you. Now, the shooting guard scores, whatever. And the point guard, he shimmies the ball and scores himself.
That's not the definition of a point guard. If you look it up, you can look in a basketball or in just even Webster. It's the person who runs the offense. That's what a point guard is.
But here's what I'm saying. The point itself, that you're the leader, you're the initiator of the offense and everything like that. You get people involved, and oftentimes it's required for you to score. But Ben Simmons, just because you can take a ball from one end of the one court and to the other end and pass the mic, that doesn't make you a point guard. It doesn't make point guards, like if he was a point guard, and basically what I'm saying, he's not naturally a point guard. He's not instinctively a point guard. Because if he was, Tobias wouldn't be performing the way he is. Joel Embiid would get a lot more easier shots. He'll be having more fun. Because he'll make sure Tobias gets on. You know, he'll make sure this person gets an easy shot here, an easy shot there. But he doesn't do that. Now, I'm willing to accept him for what he is. I'm not trying to make him what he is. I'm just saying that he's not a point guard. And you know, as long as he can contribute, it's just like a shot.
Devon, did you think Eric Snow was a point guard?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
He's all right. A point guard. He couldn't score a lick. So I'm just saying.
But he's a point guard, though. But he was a point guard.
You just said a point guard had to be able to score.
We gotta go, man. We gotta get ready for the
goodness.
Game.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You cannot like him at this position. That's fine. But he can run a team. Ben Simmons can run a team.
And the way that the NBA is, while a lot of definition of point guards, a lot of point guards don't even bring the ball up, initiate the offense. The ball moves around, the dribble handoffs.
Yeah, we have a lot more combo guards in the league now.
There's a lot of different stuff that goes on. A lot of people to thank as we wrap up this broadcast live from McStew, starting with back at the studio, Josh Rabick, Dan and Alex engineering the show here from McStew's, and Kevin, Jimmy, and Justin on ground crew. Thank you guys so much. Special thanks to Jamie Lynch for jumping in and just emceeing everything here during the breaks, giving away the gifts and all. A very special thanks to Wendy from McStew's Irish Pub for welcoming us, and the great people who came out to show us some love here at this great establishment for our Sixers pregame show. It's been a blast, Dee, as always.
And it is Chesapeake Energy Arena still.
Yes, I did look it up. There it is. And Dee, we'll be back the next time. We're not back. We take a little break.
No, man.
Until the end of next month. for our next
December.
Sixers pregame. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited because it's back in my hood. Back in the hood, back around the way, right there at Landmark Americana, right off of 54th and City
right
Line
Avenue. Right across from Hagen Arena.
Right across from St. Joe's Hagen Arena. We will be there on the 27th of December, I believe it is, D. So we will have that place jumping. Coming up next, the pregame show, of course, for us with the Sixers coverage on the Sixers Radio Network. D, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Devon.
Thanks to the great people here. We appreciate it. Thank you all for coming out. We really appreciate it. Coming up next, the pregame show, Sixers pregame coverage on the radio network right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.